The fourth Sunday of Advent is always so close to Christmas that it seems to get absorbed by Christmas itself. We have all four of the Advent candles lit here, but somehow they don't stand out as much because we have so many other lights here and decorations. 3 weeks ago, when there was only one candle, we really noticed it, but now we're getting really close to Christmas. Now, the fourth Sunday of Advent is also always in the Simbangabi Novena, this Novena of Dawn Masses. And this sets up a very interesting phenomenon that happens every year on this morning. There's always a combination of people who come to the early morning Mass. You could say there are two different crowds all mixed together on the fourth Sunday. There are the people who go to Mass every Sunday, regularly coming to Mass every Sunday, and they decide on this Sunday to get up early and participate at least once in the Novena. And then there are the people who have been getting up early all week and going to Mass. Maybe they don't go to Mass during the rest of the year, at least not that often, but for the Novena they come every single morning, early in the morning, and this is already the seventh day of the Simbangabi Novena. For the people who go to Mass every Sunday, they might recall last Sunday's theme, or one of the themes of last Sunday was rejoicing. It was Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday. Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. But for the people who are in the Novena, last time they came to Mass was yesterday morning, and they can probably remember that the Gospel yesterday was the very same Gospel I just read now, the story of the Visitation, when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth. So I'd like to put these two together, and ponder Mary at the Visitation as someone who shows us what we should do, shows us that we should rejoice and that we should visit others, reach out to others. Let's start with this idea of joy again, and the encounter between Mary and Elizabeth is certainly a joyful one. If you pray the Rosary, you know that the Visitation is the second joyful mystery. It's a very joyful mystery. Now, we would expect some joy when two relatives are reunited. Who knows when the last time they saw each other? They don't live that close to each other. So we would expect that they would rejoice to get together, and now, especially since both of them are miraculously pregnant, they would have even more to rejoice about. Not only talking about the past, but also about the future and about how God is at work. Yeah, very joyful encounter between Mary and Elizabeth. But there's more going on than simply a happy meeting between two pregnant relatives. There's a kind of chain reaction of joy that goes on at the Visitation. Now, we might think of it starts when Mary decides to get up and rush into the hill country. But it really starts with God. God who chose her to be the mother of his son, who filled her, but once she said yes to his great plan, he filled her with supernatural joy, with life. And so Mary is bringing this life that she has received. In fact, she's literally carrying God in her womb as she goes into the hill country. So what might look like an ordinary journey of a young woman visiting her cousin is an extraordinary journey. It's a missionary journey. It's an evangelistic journey. Mary is carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the world. Not by talking about it, she's not proclaiming the gospel. In fact, she probably didn't tell anybody her great secret. No, she's proclaiming it by living it, by carrying it, by acting on it, by giving herself, going out of herself, and in doing so, bringing Jesus. Mary doesn't go to Elizabeth in order to receive from her. She goes in order to give, to serve. And this is a good lesson for us, because the best kind of rejoicing, the best joy, is shared joy. not just what I enjoy or what I like to do, and not just what might cater to your selfish preferences that I might give in to in order to make you like me and that sort of thing. No. The best joy is to do what I can do so that you can experience true joy yourself, which is joy in the Lord. This is God's kind of joy. Shared joy is God's kind of joy. It's the joy of heaven. I mean, after all, God is perfectly happy in heaven. He's perfectly happy in eternal glory. He doesn't need anything. But he knows it will be even better to share his life, to share his joy. And so he creates us. And he shares everything he has with us. It includes sharing his very self with us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. The coming of God himself. So this is the kind of joy that fills Mary's heart as she rushes into the hill country. She could have stayed home. Sure, she had plenty of good reasons to stay home, of good excuses to stay home, but no. She goes to Elizabeth, she goes to her relative, who is an older woman and who's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant already. This is a great example of how we can all be Christian missionaries in ordinary life, just by visiting others, just by serving others. And then we know what happens when Mary gets there. We have this, I call it chain reaction of joy, because the joy of the encounter immediately spreads. John the Baptist, who's 6 months old in the womb, he leaps for joy when Mary's greeting reaches Elizabeth's ears. John doesn't rejoice because he knows the reason why. I mean, his mind isn't even developed yet. He's a fetus in the womb. He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual joy. It's a spontaneous response to the gift of grace and to the presence of the Lord. And then, after John rejoices, Elizabeth rejoices because her child is rejoicing. And she's made aware that she's in the presence of the Mother of the Lord. She's not rejoicing because there's something special about her or because she's better or she thinks highly of herself. No, she humbly admits that she's unworthy of this visit. Who am I? How is it that the Mother of my Lord should come to me? It's a humble joy. Anyway, my first point is that the best kind of joy is shared joy. You might have heard the popular expression in psychology, if you want to be happy, make others happy. It's true. If you want to be happy, make others happy. Okay, second point. I think there's a special application of this event, the visitation, to modern life, to our life. Because we live in an age when we don't have to meet people in person anymore in order to communicate with them. And we don't have to rush into the hill country or rush to the other side of town or rush into the province. We have the advantage of being able to simply text people or meet them on a Messenger or Zoom or something using social media, and that's great. It's great that we have that capability. But let's not forget the value of really getting together in person. It's like realizing the value of really coming to the church, even early in the morning, in person. This is a precious opportunity. And we shouldn't forget it with the other opportunities that we have. There's growing evidence, and you probably know this, that in this age of increased social connectedness through social media, there's also a growing epidemic of isolation and loneliness. Why? Not because people aren't connected, but because we're not really connected. We're only virtually connected. We have virtual friends, not real friends. Mary, of course, she didn't have social media in order to contact Elizabeth, but she could have sent her a letter. She could have sent her a message, but she didn't. Love moved her. Joy moved her. Faith moved her. God moved her to get up and go into the hill country, to go in person. Mary immediately saw the value of being with her cousin, being with her. To help her, yes, but not only to help her, also to simply be with her, to live with her, to rejoice with her, to serve with her, to work with her, to cry with her, to say yes to God with her, to celebrate the unfolding of God's great plan with her. That's what we do together when we get together. All of these things. Now, I know that's not always possible. We can't go and visit everybody, but we can visit somebody. We can be personally present to someone. We can reach out to someone. We can serve someone in person, really. God did not come into the world virtually. He really came into the world. He's really present in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Visitation. There's nothing quite as real as a child in the womb. Ask any pregnant woman. There's something really going on here. Elizabeth can feel that child leaping. It's a real experience, personal. Well, this is how God comes to us. He comes in person. And this is part of how we share in his life, being with others in person. So don't give in to the temptation to isolate. It can actually be a bigger temptation at Christmas time when people think that everyone else is rejoicing, and then when they don't feel happy, they withdraw into their gadgets. Don't bury yourself in your gadgets. The example of Mary shows us where we can find true joy. In saying yes to the will of God and in doing his will, which moves us to visit others. Try this out and discover true Christmas joy.